Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
Normally, I'm a very good sleeper, but lately I've been tossing and turning, not sure what's going on, and so I need some help, and of course, I want it to be natural. Andrea, how's your sleep these days?
You know, my sleep is really great. I've been working on a lot of different parts of my body, especially my adrenals, so it's been great. But you know what? My daughter has issues sleeping, so I really want to hear Dr. Ginger's tips, because I'd love to do something that can help her fall asleep better and stay asleep.
Oh, well, definitely. Well, Dr. Ginger is with us. Here she is, and she's going to talk about natural remedies for insomnia. Hello there.
Hello there. Well, you mentioned, Andrea, adrenals, your adrenals. Well, adrenal stress is the number one cause of insomnia, and most people don't know what that is or what causes it, but that's something that we definitely need to talk about today. The stress of today's life, just everything that's going on in our world can cause lots of stress, and what that does is it actually relates back to our adrenal glands and increases our cortisol, our stress hormone, and decreases our human growth hormone, which is something that's important, but it actually decreases that, and it increases our insulin and fat storages when you have chronic insomnia. So there's lots of hormonal things that happen when you can't sleep. Sleep is so important. It's when your body repairs. You need about 7 to 9 hours. Probably, if you're really healthy, you don't need that much, but the average person probably needs 7 to 9 hours of sleep to do the repair. And it's interesting, I came up with a statistic that I discovered that every hour of sleep before midnight, okay, so when you go to bed early, is equivalent to 3 hours of sleep afterwards due to the human growth hormone boosting effects. Because when you sleep, okay, think about it, when a baby sleeps, a newborn baby sleeps all the time. And they need to, because that's when they're growing. Their growth hormone comes out when you sleep, and it does for adults as well. But when we don't sleep, our growth hormone is lowered, and so lots of things that require that don't get that, and so we have lots of effects. And there's so many damaging issues with lack of sleep.
You know, it's a good point, Dr. Ginger. You know, for me personally, I could speak to this, that I've been working on my adrenals for many years. And one of the things I noticed, like you had said, the first thing that started changing for me was my sleep pattern. Because I used to wake up 2 or 3 times a night, and I wasn't having a sound sleep. And as soon as I got my adrenals more in check, I was able to have that restful sleep. And the way I did it was I went to the doctor and had a blood test, and I had my DHEA levels tested. Now, blood tests are not always the best ways to get DHEA tested, because they're not always accurate depending on what time of the day you're taking it. So urine tests are a great way, or saliva. But I agree with you. You know, it's so important that we get our adrenals in check, because that's what can help us sleep better and get that restful sleep that I think many of us are looking for.
Well, another way to help jumpstart the adrenals is being an acupuncturist. I know my acupuncturist.
Great.
That's usually, they look at your tongue and they can tell if you have adrenal issues with your tongue, as well as your 3 pulses that they feel with their fingers. But getting some acupuncture can help kind of give it a little bit of a jump start. But then there's certainly things that you can do on your own as well. But in addition to the adrenal stress issue and the hormone issues, all of that causes so many problems. It accelerates aging, and none of us want that. It can increase your blood sugar. So people who are borderline diabetic or who are not diabetic, they can actually become diabetic because of the whole insulin increasing and increase in fat storage. It's all kind of intertwined like a big spider web. Obviously, memory and daily performance, falling asleep at the wheel, driving drowsy, high blood pressure, depression, increase of cancer risk, and obviously something that we don't want, your impact on weight. You can accumulate belly fat from being chronically sleep deficient. And we don't want that.
No, we definitely don't. You know, I'm so glad you mentioned earlier about the going to bed early, because I have a super early bedtime. My daughter has a super early bedtime. Everybody who knows us thinks we're loony. But let me tell you, it makes a difference. And I notice with kids, if they have sleep problems, the later they go to bed, the more sleep problems they have, because they get overtired. And I think a lot of parents overlook that.
Well, we forget about, in the olden days, they used to go to bed at sundown, because before electricity and all this other technology that we have, that's our normal circadian rhythm, is to go to bed at sundown and wake up at sunset, kind of like the animals do. And we've kind of, well, we've definitely forgotten that, and we don't get the early hours of sleep because we're so stimulated all day long by the food we eat, the things that we drink, the coffee, the chocolate, the energy drinks, and all the electronics. If you lay in bed at night reading your iPad, you're not going to get the sleep that you need. I love to go to bed early, keep the room dark, and read an actual book. Have the lights on kind of low and read a book, and that makes me drowsy. People
wait
don't read
a
books.
Do they still make those?
They do, and I'm one of the people who actually. But you know, there's things that you can do in your setting to help you sleep, but you at least have to get in bed. And you know, if you can't just turn it on and turn it off, you know, by jumping into bed, you know, putting the room in the proper setting, like no TV or electronics on, and many keep no TV in the bedroom. I like to read. I like to keep the room dark, and light actually disrupts your pineal gland, in your brain that produces melatonin and serotonin and the things that help you sleep naturally. So you want to.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dr. Ginger, yeah. I heard that too about sleeping in the dark, that when we're sleeping, we should have no light, so total darkness, because I read a study, this was years ago, that talked about when you're sleeping at night and the light that comes in, that actually can have an impact on breast cancer. And I remember reading this several years ago, and I think maybe Dr. Mercola's website talked about it, but I think regardless, you know, sleeping in total darkness is important because we want that melatonin to be produced while we're sleeping.
That's right, and I use one of those eye masks. I do earplugs because my husband snores, and I do the eye mask. So I'm like, you know, senses are completely dulled when I go to sleep. But if you have to have a light on or like a night light, get one of the, they're called low blue light bulbs. They emit like an amber light, and that won't suppress melatonin. Any other kind of light, if you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and you turn the lights on, it will actually suppress the melatonin and make it so you can't go back to sleep.
Oh, wow. What about something like valerian root? Do you recommend people take things like that?
You know, all of those things are great aids in the beginning, but they're still doing things just like a drug would do, although it's worse, better. It's certainly better than taking a prescription medication. But you really want to, and if you need those in the beginning, that's fine, but you really want to get your body in tune to be able to fall asleep on its own without those additional aids, because we weren't really meant to take that to make us fall asleep. Your brain has these proper chemicals to help you go to sleep at the proper time, but we do all these things in our society that prevent us from doing that. So that's a great aid to get you there, but in my kind of worst, better, best world, I put that in the better category, but the best category is to get your body balanced, and that includes your food. Your previous guest was talking about that there's more serotonin made in the gut than in the brain, and so if you have an unhealthy gut and unhealthy diet, then that hormone that's going to help with sleep is not going to be in the proper proportions. And so eating healthy, exercising, and I like to do hot yoga or take one of the hot infrared saunas a couple hours before I'm going to go to bed, and it increases your body temperature in the evening, and then it falls at bedtime, and that whole process will help facilitate sleep.
Oh, that makes a big difference. I still want to get one of those saunas, by the way, but we'll talk later.
One other thing, alcohol, despite what you might think of it making you drowsy, it actually prevents deep stages of sleep. So drinking alcohol at night, and certainly you don't want to drink coffee or eat chocolate, all of those are metabolic disruptors that prevent the deep stages of sleep.
Dr. Ginger, always a treat to talk to you, and thank you for the great tips. I think that will be helpful to many of us, and I just want to repeat, low blue light bulbs for people who want to keep a nightlight on in their house. Thank you for being on our show, Dr. Ginger.
We'll see you next week.
Until next time, stay connected at RadioMD and NaturallySavvy.com, where we keep you informed and up to date on all things natural and organic. Stay well.